The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
From the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome. Welcome to our top story this hour. Yeah, just one story for The Big Lead here, but it's something I've been very passionate about. If you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you know that I'm very passionate about something. I'm going to hash it out with the guy who I've had some quibbles with. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, it has been the dominant topic on our show for the last week and a half, as I've been talking to law enforcement officers from all around the state about how new legislation that went into effect a week ago Sunday is really the most radical law enforcement legislation I've ever seen. And I have said that our state is much more dangerous because of this bill and the voters who put the people in place with this bill. And I will say that as I have the author of this bill on. Representative Jesse Johnson joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Representative, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay. So I didn't want to say, you know, without you on the line, what I've been saying the last couple of weeks, without saying it to you. I think this is the most incredibly dangerous, convoluted, contradictory bill I've ever seen. And I've heard so many examples from law enforcement of how it is hampering their ability to do their job. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I believe it's important to know that all stakeholders, including law enforcement, operated in good faith when we were negotiating these policies for about 8 or 9 months. Law enforcement was brought into the conversation in December prior to the legislative session. And, you know, we worked hard on these policies. We were up late into the night on Zoom, of course, virtually. We did get the state's largest police union, the Fraternal Order of Police, to back the bill. Of course, some law enforcement disagrees, and we didn't necessarily come to consensus, but we had collaboration. And I believe, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to have an effective policy that makes our state safer and less interactions of violence.
Okay. Well, but we don't have that now. And let me just give you a couple of examples. I've talked to sheriffs in Chelan and Whatcom and Pierce County. I've talked to Kennewick Police. Let me just give you a couple of examples. And the one that is most shocking to me is last week, a young man was murdered on the South Hill of Puyallup at a Kohl's parking lot. Nobody saw the actual shooting. Pierce County Sheriff's deputies responded with a K-9 unit very quickly. There were a lot of people who saw a guy with black pants and a black shirt running away from the scene, but nobody saw him pull the trigger. The officers had to make the decision that because of your bill, they did not have probable cause, because if they used the police dog to track the guy, that would be considered a use of force, and that was not allowed in this situation. And Representative, I believe a murder, I don't know for certain if they would have caught the guy, but they had a chance. And a murderer is free today because of this legislation, in my view.
Well, first of all, I just talked with Puyallup, and it sounds like they caught the guy 2 days ago.
Oh, very good. I did not know that. I hadn't gotten that up there. Okay, but let's talk about that, though. My point remains that the guy was on the loose for a week then, and I'm glad to hear they caught him, but he was on the loose for a week. They might have been able to catch him that night, and it's your bill that stopped them from doing so.
Well, when I hear that the use of force policy does not, or actually does limit the ability of police to do their jobs, I'm kind of dismayed at that because it does not prevent investigation. So they could corner someone. They can use tactical questioning. What it does is say probable cause has to be developed. And when I hear that, I mean, that's concerning because when you look at law enforcement policy, probable cause is when they deem that a crime has most likely been committed. In my mind, when I saw that, and I've talked to numerous law enforcement across the state, probable cause was established the moment that they investigated once they arrived and they had a suspect that looked like the suspect matched the description.
Well,
and
no,
that's
no, no.
The definition of most likely.
Nobody saw this guy pull the trigger, so nobody could identify him as the suspect, and they didn't know. Maybe it was a friend of the suspect. Maybe it was a random jogger that night. Law enforcement simply did not know. Now, 2 weeks ago, they could have tracked the guy, they could have questioned him, and then in the course of that questioning, they could have obtained probable cause. But this bill says they have to have probable cause before they can forcefully detain somebody. And that's just crazy when you're talking about a murder scene, Representative.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, probable cause is the threshold for any arrest. So when we say briefly detain someone, law enforcement says briefly, that means 10 or so minutes. And so when I hear that, are the police admitting that the only strategy in investigation is to physically threaten or harm citizens? That's concerning to me also. I think you should be able to use your tactical question and call for backup and still pursue or chase the individual. And the canine part, like that was, they already had canines at the scene that were moving on the suspect before they called it off. So they had already technically started the pursuit.
Correct, but it was determined that use of a canine is a use of force, which is not allowed until you have probable cause. And they didn't have probable cause. We're the only state in the United States of America where police have to have probable cause before they can question somebody. And I mean, that makes us the most dangerous state in the union, in my view.
Well, that's not correct. It's not to question someone. It's to physically use force, which will
right.
be defined
but the word is
in
out.
A couple of days.
The criminals know that if they just start walking away, the police cannot detain them. They can't grab them up. They can't ask questions. And in the course of asking questions is how they, in the normal state, is how they would get probable cause. But they're not allowed to.
Well, they can investigate and chase and corner someone. So they could still investigate that crime. And when I hear like the threshold to probable cause, again, that's most likely that a crime has been committed. That's the law enforcement definition and statute. So in my mind, a number of officers, including Fraternal Order of Police, said probable cause was established in that situation.
Well, everybody on scene said it wasn't. Let's talk about some others. Real-life examples. In Kennewick, a woman comes out in the middle of the afternoon, kitchen knives in each hand. The police mm-hmm. were there. If they had been able to use less lethal beanbags, they could have taken the woman down, and then when she's on the ground, even though she has knives in her hands, they could have gotten close enough to tase her. But because of this legislation, you said you want them to use less lethal like beanbags, and then you banned the guns that can fire beanbags. And so instead of them being able to take down this woman with less lethal, they had to back off. She slashed the tires, 9 tires on police cars, threw dishes out of her apartment at cops, walked into 2 businesses, and it went on for 45 minutes. If not for your legislation, it would have been over in about 2 minutes. What do you say to that one?
Well, I got to admit, for this one, this is something that myself, a number of folks in the legislature, we all missed, including law enforcement. There wasn't an amendment to amend this part of the bill around military-style weapons. So we say in 1310, we want beanbag rounds to be used. 1054, we ban the military-style weapons of .5 caliber or above. And that, you know, that doesn't include all beanbag rounds. They're not all .5 or above. A lot of the 40 millimeter, as I've learned since, are.
Right.
And so
but that's
what
Kennewick had, 50 caliber, which is 37
you're right,
millimeter.
You're right.
They weren't allowed to use it. And this woman could have killed somebody because of this legislation.
Right. I agree. And since then, the Criminal Justice Training Commission has came out and said there will not be any sanctions on departments for using the .5 or above because we understand the need to fix it. The AG is going to be weighing on this in the next couple of days. So I agree. That needs to be fixed. And we want our intent is that they use the less lethal, including beanbags. So I'm glad you brought that one up. I want the departments to know that they will not be sanctioned for using those weapons.
But doesn't that indicate that this is a horribly sloppy? And I mean, I have the entire bill right in front of me. I've printed it out. I've got it right in front of me. I've highlighted all the sloppiness. It just, I mean, it's convoluted. It's sloppy. And most importantly, it is all for the criminals. It is all about aiding and abetting and making it easier to be a criminal, Representative.
Well, to that, I have to disagree because, you know, when we started this process after last summer, this is about excessive force. This is about less lethal enforcement of the law. And I believe we have to be honest about the fact that there's bias in law enforcement, just like any other American institution. Our state's no different. But we have to be able to root out bias and violence in law enforcement in order to have effective public safety. And in fact, we can't have the former until we have the latter addressed. And so I think that, you know, this legislation, obviously major piece of legislation, just like Keep Washington Working a couple of years ago, there's going to be flaws. And just when it passes doesn't mean it's the end. We're going to have to fix the ammunition piece, for example. But I think when we get this piece of legislation formally, you know, drafted, there's still conversations. We're still negotiating with police right now. And the majority of officers and deputies and chiefs are committed to doing right by all the people that they serve. And you know, building on the intent of this legislation, which was built on voter-approved 940 a couple of years ago. A lot of the stuff was already in 940, and we're just standardizing it.
When you say there are flaws, a murder in Puyallup was free for a week. You know, somebody who had used a gun could have used it again because the cops mm-hmm. didn't have that opportunity to track him. That's more than a flaw, Representative. That could have been a fatal flaw, literally, if this killer, alleged killer, killed somebody else in the week that he was still on the run. I mean, I think dismissing it as flaws is really understating how dangerous this bill is.
Well, you know, again, in that case, some police say they had probable cause. That Pierce County Sheriff's Office did not. I think we have to be clear that, you know, officers have the ability to pursue and to investigate without using physically harm. I just don't like the notion that there has to be physical harm in order to do an investigation.
But the word is out among criminals. The word is out among criminals, among defense attorneys. If a cop comes up to you, just keep walking. If the Washington State Patrol wants to write somebody a ticket, if somebody's going 75 in a 60, if the person just keeps on driving, they can't chase them. Speeders are going to get away.
Our state patrol doesn't do vehicular pursuits anyways before this law was passed.
No, but that's what I'm telling you.
They can't do it. So
what I'm telling you is people stop because people respect law enforcement for the most part. But now the word is out. If you're going over the speed limit and a trooper tries to pull you over, you have absolutely no reason to pull over. You can just keep on going. And there, I mean, I talked to the Washington State Patrol about this. Sure. But before, I mean, no, we're short on time. I want to give you one other real life example that Chelan Sheriff told me about. A guy got out of Western State Mental Hospital 2 weekends ago. Then he was seen wearing a yellow dress walking along the highway in Leavenworth. He stole the school bus that a rafting company uses, and he started leading police on a slow speed chase. He had not committed a violent crime, so they were not able to use a pit maneuver or throw down spike strips or any of that because it was not a violent crime what he had done. And Chelan County sheriffs had to call off their pursuit. He went into Douglas County. They had to call off their pursuit. He ended up crashing the bus, hitchhiking across the street, stealing a front loader and ramming it through the wall of his house with his, thank goodness, his terrified wife was able to get out first. We're just letting criminals go now because of your bill. And I mean, I've got so many of these examples in just the first couple of weeks. Does all of this not give you pause that maybe this is not just a tweakable bill, but just a fatally flawed bill?
Well, someone stealing a bus and driving all over the place. We say explicitly in the bill, DUI is still at the threshold of reasonable suspicion.
They did not have...
A number of officers said they would have used reasonable suspicion for a DUI when you see someone in a dress stealing a bus and driving all over the place. So, I think that's a fatal flaw on Chelan County for not
because
DUI.
It says DUI, but they didn't know at the time that he had just gotten out of a mental hospital. And you specifically,
saw him driving all over the place on the road. I mean, that anyone could see that's probably a DUI.
No, it could have been mental illness. It could have been somebody going through
like
a manic
phase. They didn't know he left the mental health facility. So all they saw was what they saw is with a school bus that was stolen.
So if it turns out
that's reasonable suspicion for a DUI.
No, if it turns out they had stopped him for a DUI or had used the spike strips, and then it's revealed he hadn't been drinking, he was just going through a mental episode, then he goes free.
They
and the police get sanctioned. And then the police get sanctioned for that.
They won't get sanctioned on that. They will not.
Of course they would. If they violate Washington state law, they won't get sanctioned?
That's not violating when you have reasonable suspicion for a DUI.
But he wasn't drunk. He was mentally ill.
The director of the CJTC, Marduk Alexander, came out and said that was DUI reasonable suspicion, and they would not have been sanctioned.
Well, the sheriffs in both Chelan and Douglas County tell me differently until they know for certain, and he wasn't swerving. They say he was maintaining his lane. He wasn't speeding. It was a slow speed chase. They didn't see any other obvious effects of impairment. So they did not have reasonable cause to pull him over for DUI.
Well, they had a stolen school bus. and that's
not a felony. That's not a felony. They could only do that if it's a felony under your bill. I got it right here.
It doesn't have to be a felony, though, if it's reasonable suspicion for DUI. And again, DUI means a lot of things. I've seen people get pulled over for a Ron Wake signal for potential DUI.
But he wasn't drunk.
So it's stolen school. Well, yeah, but it's so still based on reasonable suspicion.
So if they say, we suspected you were drunk, and then they prove that he wasn't, then the cop has violated your law.
No, that's not true. Because reasonable suspicion means that they believed, again, in good faith, that there could have been a DUI. Just like if someone does a wrong way turn signal and turns wrong and they suspect it's a DUI.
Well, cops can't live their life by the intent of the bill. That's what I've heard so many people say. Well, they should just go by the intent of the bill. And there's a witch hunt against cops in our state. And I think our governor and attorney general are part of it. And if I was a cop, I wouldn't risk my career by violating a law just because your intent was different. It's too dangerous these days.
Yeah, and one of the last things I'll say, we've increased almost $5 million this year in funding for the police for de-escalation, the co-responder model. In fact, all the departments in my district got part of that funding. We're increasing funding for police. We're trying to increase training. These laws, we have a couple of fixes to do, but accountability for everyone, including criminals, still has to be at the forefront. Prosecutors have to prosecute. When I hear that they're not prosecuting anymore for obstruction, we have to attack that. We can't let that happen as well. So that's something I'll be addressing this year, too.
All right. And since there's been a contentious interview, I do want to leave on a note of agreement. Every officer I've talked to, every agency I've talked to wants to be better. And nobody is standing in the way of being better. And that's certainly my wish. And you just stated that that's your wish. I just think this law is a dangerous way to achieve that. But I think everybody has the same goal, that we want things to get better between cops and people who don't trust them. I'm with you on that.
I agree. And I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Well, I love conversations like this, and I appreciate you coming on with me, and I hope we can do it again, Representative.
Thanks, Dory. I appreciate your time.
All right. Representative Jesse Johnson, one of the authors of the bill that police say has handcuffed them. All right. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Admit, I was so upset by this law, and I still am. I was expecting to not really like the author. He's a good man. I disagree with him passionately about that. But people I disagree with were willing to go back and forth. Love that. Appreciate it. And does sound like a good guy. And he told me he's about to have his first baby. So I wish him the best with that. Great time of life. All right. We're going to check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour. And then we got a lot of other stuff to get to. It's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. I'm getting tremendous feedback on the text line from the interview we just had with State Representative Jesse Johnson. And I'm not going to criticize him personally at all because he had the guts to come on, which most of his colleagues do not. So, but I disagree with him so vehemently. So this is not personal about him, but I have so many cops who listen to the show and cops' spouses because I'm hearing from all of them on the text line. I really appreciate it and know that despite all the crap that's thrown at you guys, that we love you. And I know that's true for most of my listeners here, too. So, but just some of the things the representative said just didn't make any sense. That if they have some reasonable suspicion of somebody, that they can corner him, he said. I don't know what that means, because any criminal can just walk away from police if the police don't yet have probable cause. They can just walk away. And I'll give you an example. I told the story last week, in fact. Down at the little shopping center that's closest to my house, my wife went to the grocery store last week, and she saw a guy trying the handles on car after car after car, tucked away back in the parking lot, seeing if any of them were unlocked. And my wife, being my wife, she's pretty cool, my wife goes, hey, what are you doing? And the guy was really startled, and then he starts coming up to her, and he starts telling her his sob story about he just needs something to eat and sleep tonight. And she goes, well, you're in luck. The police department is right there. She goes, I'll follow you over there, and they will get you services. They always offer services to anybody in need. He goes, no, I just need some food. Can you give me some money? And nope. She said, no, I'm not giving you money. She said, I'll get you food and a bed by you going to the police, and then they will get services for you. So my wife, meanwhile, has called 911, and the responding officer is a very good friend of mine, and he couldn't do anything about the guy. Couldn't do a thing, because breaking into cars is a misdemeanor. It's not a violent crime. It's not a misdemeanor. So even though my wife could identify him, and plus the guy hadn't gotten into any cars, it turns out 2 weeks ago, the same officer, my friend, gave that guy a trespass on the same property, and he was able to remove him from the property. When my wife saw the same guy breaking into cars after this state law went into effect, my police officer friend came, and all he could do, he couldn't grab up the guy. He said, you have a trespass. And he said, all I could do is walk alongside him and escort him off the property, knowing that he was going to come back in minutes and try to break into more cars. And they didn't have the manpower to just, you know, keep an eye on him for the next hour or two. And so that's another perfect example of where a guy who's got a trespass, who was seen attempting to break into cars, and the officers said, under ordinary circumstances, he could have, you know, grabbed his arm and questioned him, what were you doing? That's not allowed. That is absolutely not allowed in our state. And we are the only state out of 50 that has done this to police officers, because we are the most criminal-friendly state in the country. And I'm getting so many text messages from police officers, and they say more officers need to carry out these new laws at a time when officers are leaving in a mass exodus because they've been demonized and hung out to dry with no support from our governor, AG, and legislators. Unquestionably, Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson are on a witch hunt against cops. They made sure with the Tacoma police officers, the Manny Ellis case, who were about to be exonerated. Once you know that Inslee and Ferguson got in, you know that they were going to try to take these men and destroy their lives. Even though they were about to be exonerated by the investigation, that Jay Inslee said, no, I'm not going to use that investigation. I'm turning it over to the AG. Game over if you're a cop. When Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, when they see an opportunity to get political points, if it means throwing a husband and father in prison wrongly, they'll do it. They will sacrifice lives. This is how soulless people have become in politics in our state. And so the things that the representative was saying simply do not work in real life. And that's what so many others are saying, police officers. They were saying that obviously the representative has no idea what probable cause is. Another, Washington State Patrol did have pursuit powers before this law. Get your facts right. Another person, a lot of people associated with the State Patrol are saying that representative has no idea what he's talking about. That if somebody was running away, they were attempted to be lit up for speeding, and if they took off, the Washington State Patrol would follow after them. Now, if the chase got too hairy, if it got too reckless, too dangerous, then they would call it off. But the Washington State Patrol had pursuit powers, because often when somebody's running, it's because they have a felony warrant, they might have drugs in more than personal possession amounts, they might be carrying an illegal gun. And all of that is discovered. But now the criminals have the advantage in every way in our state, in every single way. And this gets back to not just Representative Johnson there, but every Democrat in our legislature voted for this. There may have been one or two who did not. I'll double check that. because there are a couple of Democrats who caucus with Republicans. But almost every Democrat voted for it. And so that's where we got to take the gloves off and we got to start talking real. And that means that every single voter who sent these Democrats to Olympia, you are culpable in making our state a more dangerous place. And as I've said many times, a lot of Democrats listen to my show, and I'm not in the habit of trying to broad brush my listeners because I love and appreciate everybody who listens to the show. But sometimes you need some tough love. The Democrats you've sent to Olympia are the most dangerous bunch. They are the most tax-hiking bunch. They are the most radical bunch that has ever been sent. And where it's hitting home now is we're seeing people who are going to be victimized by crime. And I hope and pray it's not you or your spouse or your child or your parent or any loved one in your life. But crime is going to skyrocket because of this bill. There is zero question about that. Criminals are going to run away from cops, and the cops can do nothing about it. Cops who, in 49 other states, can question a reasonable suspect and establish probable cause in the course of that questioning. In Washington, they have to have probable cause before they can even question. Our state has gone insane. And Democratic voters, you have to accept responsibility for how dangerous you have made this state with the people that you've sent to Olympia. I'm sorry, but sometimes you need tough love. I still love you. I'm just disappointed in you right now. Okay, we're going to check. We're going to come back in just a moment. I've got such a great batch. I've got another candidate for top 10 of the year coming up. It's our awesome audio of the day next on the Dory Monson Show. I have just been told by a source in law enforcement that I trust that what the representative said about the murder suspect in Puyallup having been caught 2 days ago, not true. Law enforcement in Pierce County just texted me. They say the suspect has been identified but is not in custody. So the representative was apparently mistaken on that one. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. In a big I told you so. I said for much of the last week that it's obvious what the next wave is going to be as crime and criminals. This last story we've been talking about. Criminals now have all the advantages. Drugs are legal. Shoplifting is de facto legalized. You can get away even if you're near a murder scene. You can just walk away from cops, and they can't do a darn thing about it. And so what's going to happen is vigilante justice. I am not advocating that. I'm not cheering for that. I am predicting that. More and more people understand that they are going to have to take care of themselves and their families and their homes. More and more people are going to be carrying guns with carjackings up 100% here in 2021. People are going to be careful. I told you, I got a bunch of text messages from people who tell me that they have coffee in one of their cup holders and wasp spray in the other because it will shoot out 20 feet if somebody comes and messes with you. But we're going to see more vigilantism. There's a story that we have for you today. At a homeless encampment, a couple thought that people at this homeless encampment on Dexter and Mercer had stolen their stuff in a car prowl. How they thought that, I do not know. But they thought it. And so they went to the encampment. Now, here's what blows my mind. They went with a two-week-old baby in a car seat in the back of their car. Well, they get to the encampment, and all of a sudden, they get swarmed on by the criminal drug addicts there. One guy had a 5-foot wooden pole, swings it like a baseball bat into the back of the driver of the car. Another guy with a machete starts attacking the car. A woman starts attacking the woman in the car. And on it goes. Finally, the guy drove in there trying to retrieve his stuff. He sped away. racing away for his and his family's life. And in the process, he hit a 20-year-old guy and threw the kid in the air, and the 20-year-old was killed. Now, police say that the driver does not face charges because he was trying to get away for his life. But this is an example of what I've been predicting, that we are going to see people say, enough is enough. I am not going to let you keep prowling my car and stealing from my house and robbing me on the street. We are going to see more vigilante justice. I don't want that. But you know who does? Seattle City Council, Washington State Legislature, most of the King County Council. This is not by accident. This is a war. This is Marxism versus capitalism. That's what this is all about. Don't fool yourself. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, talked to one of those homeless encampment people who saw a fight that ended up killing the 20-year-old.
He was a good kid, man. He was young. He was smart. And what happened here the other night was a complete travesty. It should not have happened.
We're going to see more of this. Thank you to the people in power and the voters who put them there. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I believe that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will be president in 2029, the 2028 campaign and election. Ron DeSantis, maybe not. It's going to be Donald Trump from 24 to 28. Or 25 to 29, technically. And then it'll probably be Donald Trump Jr. from 29 to 37. And then it'll be Ron DeSantis from 37 to 41.
I just like messing with some people.
But Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, he doesn't like it when reporters ask him stupid questions.
Excuse me, seven kids are in the Joe DiMaggio hospital. Two of them in our ICU. Don't you think the mask would help those poor children?
Do you have any data to suggest that? Do you know if they were wearing masks?
I know they weren't vaccinated.
Well, they're not right. They're not eligible for the vaccination. I mean, that's not. I mean,
so you're
blaming the kids, saying they weren't wearing masks and so they're in the ICU. With all due respect, I find that deplorable to blame a victim who ends up being hospitalized. You don't know their story. You don't know what happened with that. And this has been a really negative thing throughout this whole thing with some of these quote experts, some of the media. Somebody contracts a highly transmissible airborne virus. And they're viewed as having done something wrong. And that's just not the way you do it when
people... Oh, but that's the way the media does it. They're just spinning, all in favor of masks and vax. And then you have Marxist Congresswoman Cori Bush. She wants to defund the police, which she will say at the end of this soundbite. But you will not believe it. She was busted because she pays $200,000 for personal armed security. Listen to the absolute idiocy packaged together in 28 seconds.
I won't let them get that off. You can't get that off. I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets.
So she wants protection. She just doesn't want you to have protection. These people are unbelievable, man. All right, that's going to do it for us. The Tom and Curly Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and let's do it again tomorrow. High noon.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.